Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 12 to 3 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. And Fox Sports is giving away 5 Fire TV Edition smart TVs in honor of Super Week and the big game. Man, thanks to the folks at Amazon Fire for having us all the way in Atlanta. To enter for your chance to win, keep listening this hour. We'll be announcing the keyword to text. For more info and rules, visit foxsportsradio.com. All right, I want to give you something on the Super Bowl. And then I want to get to a story of the day. Okay, here's something on the Super Bowl. I know they've been here 9 times, and I know they have lost before, right? But remember, the 2 losses that they have were both to the New York Giants. And there's part of the kind of the Giants that we see here with the Rams, right? A great pass rush in which you don't have to send any help. You don't have to send 5 or 6 or casino blitz Tom Brady. You got 4 dudes that can just get after you. The LA Rams spent wisely on the places that it counts, up front, in the trenches, on both sides of the football. And they spent on Ndamukong Suh, who, for my money, should have won the Heisman Trophy his last year at Nebraska because he was the best college football player in America by a mile. And then, of course, they have Aaron Donald, who they gave the biggest contract we've ever seen to a player at his position. They spent and spent wisely. But here's why I'm telling you now that I'm taking the Patriots. I don't think they have better individual players. I don't think Tom Brady is nearly the quarterback he used to be. It's not just about Belichick and his coaching and their game plan. It's not just about the fact they've been here before or the fact that the LA Rams don't have a lot of depth in their defensive line, and you give Belichick, Brady, and Josh McDaniels a week to figure it out, and they say, well, why don't we just, run hurry up, tire them out, get to their legs so that they're winded in the fourth quarter. Remember, last year's Philadelphia Eagle team had a great defensive line, and the Patriots did not punt. Not once. It's this. I grew up in an era of blowouts in the Super Bowl. John Elway's as good a quarterback as I've ever seen play the position. He's amazing. And truth be told, Elway and the Broncos shouldn't have been in the Super Bowl again because they should have lost to the Cleveland Browns. Browns had them beat 2 years in a row. Right? Do you remember? Right? There was the drive, and then there was the Ernest Biner fumble. Do you remember those? And what happens when a team gets somewhere that they shouldn't be? They get exposed. That's what generally happens. You factor in that the Rams probably shouldn't be here. I'm not saying that the Saints, didn't screw it up in their own right, but the Rams shouldn't be here. I think all of us agree. The Rams have not been nearly as good as their talent would tell you they should be through the second half of the season. You do factor in that they haven't been here before. You factor in that you give Belichick a chance to spot and expose the weakness. You do have Jared Goff, who at times looks just okay back there. Todd Gurley doesn't seem to be right, but here's the one I can't get away from. I grew up when Super Bowls were blowouts. And the Patriots are part of the generation that's changed that, because even when they've been beaten twice by the Giants, both of those, they're one play away from winning. Wes Welker hauls down a pass that falls off his fingertips on 3rd down from Tom Brady. Remember? Do you remember Tom Brady's wife, Giselle, afterwards? My husband cannot throw and catch the ball afterwards and do both. Do you remember that? Or David Tyree in their first Super Bowl loss. when he had to have stickum, super glue, and any other sort of substance to catch the football against his helmet when Eli Manning should have been in the grasp in the backfield and the refs decided to not blow it dead. You remember that? This is how good they are. Sure, they needed to read a play and Malcolm Butler make the play of his career. Sure, they needed the greatest comeback in the history of the sport to beat the Falcons. But they never get blown out. They never get embarrassed. And it was a no-doubter against the Chargers, and let's just be honest, they outplayed the Kansas City Chiefs. Even if the Chiefs did make them go to overtime and come from behind to send it to overtime. I'm taking the Patriots because until further notice, I haven't seen them play a game that got away from them in the Super Bowl. I don't think that they're great, but I do think that you give them time off to get themselves rested, to figure out the weakness, and they'll expose you as opposed to the Rams, who don't seem like a team that adjusts all that well on the fly. All right, let's get to the other story of the day. Yesterday, we had a blockbuster trade in the NBA between the Knicks and the Dallas Mavericks. Kristaps Porzingis is now a Dallas Maverick. Right? It's almost like they took Dirk Nowitzki and they said, do we have a 2019 version of him? Yes, we do. So Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis on the same squad whenever he returns from injury. And because the Knicks cleared out all this cap space, there's this hope that the Knicks can land Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving in the offseason, who are both free agents in this free agency bonanza year. Now, Kyrie, remember, at the start of the season, for no reason at all, picked up the microphone and said, hey, y'all have me back. I plan on re-signing at the end of the season. Now, it should be pointed out that at that very moment, I did not say it's a done deal, because if you listen to his words, he said, I plan on. And plans change. Plans change. Like, none of this stuff is written. It's not like you ever seen somebody that gets branded? Like, that's the only thing that lasts forever. You know, like Q-Dogs, it's a black fraternity. Q-Dogs get branded on their shoulders. That's the only, even tattoos now, you can get covered up and can kind of get removed. Branding, you can't get removed. He's not branded as Celtic. He was like, look, as of right, you know, if you have me, I plan on re-signing. But I do think this is curious. I've been told by multiple sources that Kyrie Irving doesn't want to rejoin LeBron James because it's not about playing with LeBron James. It's the control that LeBron James has over the entire operation. It's the drama that always follows a LeBron James team. It's just it's too much. LeBron picks the coach. LeBron picks the players. LeBron is the GM. He is, in fact, the coach. And that's just a lot. Forget about playing with him. Playing with him is great. You get to go to the NBA Finals. And LeBron doesn't actually want to take the last second shot. It's the other stuff. Well, how about this act from Kyrie Irving earlier today? He could have put to rest any thoughts, any drama surrounding his tenure coming to an end with the Celtics and joining the Knicks, because the Celtics play the Knicks tonight. And here's what he said.
I mean, well, at the end of the day, I'm going to do what I feel is best for my career. And, you know, that's just where it stands. And my focus this season is winning a championship with the Boston Celtics. You know, obviously we had goals coming into the season, and the primary goal is to win a championship. So that's where my focus is.
Has your mindset shifted, though, in regards to re-signing with Boston, like the announcement?
Ask me July 1st.
Ask me July 1st if my mind has shifted. That is not. I said what I said, and I stand by what I said. That's not any of that. Ask me July 1st. That's a non-answer answer if I've ever heard a non-answer answer. And what did he do? He just created all of the drama that he said he wanted to live without from when he played with LeBron James. He's doing exactly what he said he wants to avoid. Which, of course, is only going to fire this thing up even more.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio, live from Radio Row. What a great week we've had. And, boy, this is kind of amazing, right? Amazing. I'm interviewing him, so that means I know him, which means I'm now a head coaching candidate, right? There you go. Plus, a couple years ago, he was coaching in the big game. He was the offensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons. Now he's the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. We're joined by Kyle Shanahan. How are you, man?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Good. I'd love your perspective first on your team because, you know, last year it was supposed to be a build. You go out and make the deal for Jimmy G, and then he becomes Jimmy Jesus, and there's so much hope and so much hype, and I think rightfully so. You know, the whatever John Lynch, he wants to use the word process, whatever he wants to use. Like, yeah. It was – and then he gets hurt. How would you characterize this year?
I think going into this year, it still was part of the, and it's always part of the process, and you always are still trying to build. But when you start out 0-9 and you finish 6-10, and the way Jimmy played in that time, it got a lot of people excited. You know, so as a coaching staff, I mean, you study everything, you still definitely have everything in perspective, but you're aware of what everyone else thinks going into it. And then to lose a quarterback like that in the third game of the year, you know, I've been coaching a while, I've been in the league 16 years, and I've never been on a team that's lost a quarterback. You know, I've been on teams that have lost for one game, maybe two, but never for an entire year. And it was different. It was good experience. Experience I'll learn from, but it wasn't one I wish on anybody.
You never lost a quarterback? I guess RG3 was hurt, played was, hurt, right?
No, he got hurt the last game of the year.
Right, right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've never had
that's
a,
like a
I've
knock on wood.
Lost a guy, the, I mean, for the whole year.
But so. Then CJ was good. I mean, like, CJ was...
CJ did a good job, and then CJ got hurt for one game, and Nick Mullins came in.
Yeah, and he was stud.
And he had the best first game in the history of football, so I told CJ, sorry, we got to let him keep going. You can't bench a guy after the best start in the history of football. And he kept doing good, so Nick held on to the job and finished it up. But we felt real good with both of our backups, and they helped us get through it.
By the way, I got a little CJ insight from George Kittle. I heard he never curses. Like, he has a serious temper, serious competitiveness,
yeah.
But he never curses. There's a bunch of gosh darn it's and golly geez.
That's you might be right on that because, yeah, he is as competitive as anyone I've been around.
There's a report of a broken Xbox controller because of a Fortnite or yeah. Rocket League game, but uh-huh. He said there's no cursing. It's like kind of amazing as competitive as he is. There's no cursing. Okay, there's also obviously there's a player out there who has openly opined to be a San Francisco 49ers. I can't ask you the guy's name. That would be that would be illegal, right, for you to respond to it. But what's that like to be coaching a team and like? To get it's got to be amazing to have the amount of respect that you carry. It's not just your assistant coaches and former guys being hired away, but now you got players from other teams. I want to play for that guy. What's that like for you?
I mean, you're always flattered when people talk that way. I haven't been keeping up on anything you're talking about, so I'm not sure what you're talking about.
But
no, but it's always flattering, and I don't always take it as just that. I'm sure there's lots of reasons, but yeah, I've been in the league for a while. You go through good times and bad times. I'm used to people saying bad things about me. Sometimes they say good things about me. So you try not to let it get you too high or too low. You just enjoy what you do and try to be as good as you can.
You and Sean obviously are always going to be tied at the hip. One, you guys both grew up around the league. You know, his dad in the league. Your dad obviously coaching, winning championships in the league. But also the age by which you got your coaching job. And now you're in the same division. I guess my question becomes, it's not like college football where it can hurt you in recruiting if a team in your league wins a championship. So
right.
So do you root for Sean to win on Sunday?
No, I don't, to be honest. But I support Sean. He's a good friend of mine. And I can't say I have a lot of good friends in coaching. I got a lot of coaching friends. But Sean, I spent 4 years with Sean. He was a QC for me the first year. And then he was a tight end coach for me the next 3 years. But any coach watching the Super Bowl, it's hard to root for anyone. Every coach is kind of bitter watching the Super Bowl. So I'm trying to figure out still how both teams can lose. If that happens, yeah. It'd be more fun for me to watch. But no, I support Sean, and I'll be one of the first people to call him if he does win. But by no means, you're too competitive. You're not sitting there cheering for anybody, really.
True or false, your dad's famous for the zone running scheme, right? Zone blocking running scheme.
Mm-hmm.
And they always did well against the Patriots. Like that, if there's one thing that Belichick secretly could never figure out, it's how to attack that with his defense. Is that a fair perspective to have?
I don't know if it's exactly that, but I know that I know the Broncos in their tenure there matched up very good versus the Patriots. I know they struggled a ton matching up versus the Colts. Peyton Manning was their kryptonite my dad's tenure there.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, so in terms of your team's process, obviously getting Jimmy back, how close are you? How close are you to – I mean, because we all salivated because it wasn't just that you guys won the games at the end of last year. Yeah. It was good teams. It was the Jaguars. You guys did to the Jaguars what no one else could do. There were other wins. The Rams won. You know, maybe they were getting ready for the playoffs. But, you know, you beat three playoff teams in that run. Yeah. How close do you think you are?
I do think we're close, but I also think almost every team in the NFL is close. Like it's a very close league and just the balance of it. And you know, we're not there yet in terms of we're going to win a lot of games not playing good. You know, you got to go out there and play your best ball. And I believe that we're getting to the point that every Sunday, no matter who we play, we have a good chance of winning. And if you play your best football, you stay healthy, you get a few breaks, then you can have a great record. What you want to try to build and accumulate drafts, free agents, you try to build it to where what New England's had over the years in a long time where you don't always have to play your best football and you still can win some games. And I don't think we're there yet, but we're trying to get those guys experience, still trying to add some more blue chip type players, and we're close.
What impresses me about the Patriots is that it's not just that they're evolving and changing, but they're playing to their strengths instead of saying, hey, here's our style and here's who we are, right? Like,
right.
They've become a power running team, like old school January football with a huge – how come more people can't have a team, or maybe they don't change based upon their personnel? It seems, at least, again, from the outside, like a lot of guys have in their mindset what they're going to do, and then they find pieces to do that, and that's all that they do.
Well, I think everyone, whether it's football or any line of work, I think everyone's a product of their environment, and whatever you're brought up in is kind of what you know. The more you can go to different places and do stuff, the more you learn. When you try to put in a system, are you copying someone else's system and just running a playbook? If that's the case, then you're not going to change much. Or is there a foundation of what you believe in, and how do you adjust that? And you can't sit there and change to your personnel and stuff if you don't understand both sides of the ball. Offensive coaches need to understand defense, and defense coaches need to understand offense, and not everyone's like that, but you know, I've been fortunate enough to I've had to go to a number of different teams, and I've been in situations where I've had to adjust. You know, my first time as a coordinator, I was 28. I was in Houston, and we had Matt Schaub and Andre Johnson and Owen Daniels, and you know, we had a really good team that people didn't totally know about. And my first 2 years, we were third and fourth in offense, and man, I thought it was easy. I was 28, and I was like, oh, there's no problems. And I go to Washington, and it's totally different quarterbacks, totally different deal. I try to run the exact same stuff that we were really good at. I'm like, well, what the hell? Why aren't we as good? And, I mean, I had to change. Yeah. I was forced to because I wanted to be successful, and it wasn't working. And that's stuff that I want to take back for anything. I've been forced to do a number of different things because I've had a lot of different players. And once you do that and you go through that, you realize – you know what you believe in, but you also know there's lots of ways to be successful, and it gives you confidence as a coach that, hey, you feel as long as they got a certain skill set, you can help give anybody a situation to work.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio, catching up with Kyle Shanahan, the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, been kind enough to spend some time with us here on Radio Row. Last thing football-wise, your dad won too. Which one do you have a greater recollection of?
Both, but the first one, the Green Bay one. I mean, I was holding his cords. I was a trivia question. I'm the last guy to hold a head coach's cords in the Super Bowl because they went
wireless.
They went wireless the next year. So my senior year in high school, it was so cool because the AFC hadn't won in 13 years. I had been to a bunch of Super Bowls on AFC teams just as a kid where they'd gotten blown out. So I just assumed the AFC couldn't win. And the Broncos were there who had been blown out in three already.
Yep.
And I remember the morning of the Super Bowl, I was watching, I was in my dad's room with my buddy. We were watching White Man Can't Jump. And my dad came in and guaranteed to both of us victory. And he's like, I guarantee you guys we win. And it shocked me so much, but it was so real. And then I remember every part of that. And just, I remember it was the lightest offense line in the league.
Yep.
I think it was 280. And then the average weight of the defensive line was the heaviest defensive line in the league. The number one defense, run defense versus number one run offense. Goliath, the biggest, and versus David, the smallest. And all only one receiver caught one ball in the entire Super Bowl. I think it was Ed McCaffrey for like 15 yards. John Elway had like 180 yards passing, and it was just a run game, and it was cool to watch how it worked.
Yeah, lowest quarterback rating for a winning quarterback in the history of the Super Bowl to date. Ben Roethlisberger actually topped that. That had to be amazing to watch. I can't imagine being a son holding your dad's cords. You're here with Zebra Technologies. There's a lot of amazing things that are done on off the field in the National Football League to track players and use it. What does Zebra Technologies do?
Zebra Technologies, first of all, they do a lot of stuff, which I didn't realize till this week. They've been around for 50 years. They have technology that tracks all types of things. They do all the barcodes in stores for retail. They do all the barcodes for packaging and things like that. I learned that this week. What I know Zebra as is we use it to get a performance edge in football, and the fact that we track all our players. We know how fast they run in the off season. We know what they do on a normal Wednesday, normal Thursday. We know the workload of the last 5 years, what receivers do and what they're expected to do versus defensive linemen. For me, it's been huge because I'm always trying to tinker practice and stuff with, hey, our guys seem tired.
Right.
I got to take some off of them the next day. Or, man, I got to go harder on them because we got to be ready for Sunday. All that stuff is just a gut feeling and a feel, trying to figure it out. But what's best is all 53 guys are different. There's not one decision for the team. It's different for each individual. And when you track everything they do every day, you know when a guy is different on this Wednesday than he's been the previous 15. His speed could be down. Why is that? And then you ask the guy, you talk to him. They might have a tight hamstring. They might be dehydrated, whatever it is. And that allows us to change his workload on Thursday because the whole goal is be as fast as you can on Sunday. And if you make guys run their fastest throughout the week, you'll be slower on Sunday.
Can't leave your legs in practice field.
But if you can ignore it all week, then they're going to get hurt on Sunday. So you got to balance that out, and it's just nice to have actually some numbers with it to help so it's not always just an educated guess.
Who's the buddy you watch White Man Can't Jump with?
Zach Zucker, high school friend. It was cool because he was just sitting there because he didn't have any Super Bowl ticket. He just went down there and he was hanging out with me, and he couldn't get a Super Bowl ticket, and it was cool. My dad was uniquely relaxed, and he gave him $1,500, and he goes, hey, go see if you can go find one in the lobby. I know they're going for more, but if you can get one, and my buddy ended up getting one, and so he got to go to the Super Bowl, so it was cool.
That's amazing stuff. Best of luck this year. I know you got a huge offseason with lots of additions, maybe some subtractions, and of course the draft. Really appreciate you joining us.
Appreciate it, man. Enjoyed it.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio, and our next guest has done it all. And honestly, I'm intrigued to hear his thoughts on the future, his reaction to this year, and of course, maybe some thoughts on how Tom Brady continues to get it done. He's Jameis Winston, quarterback, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and like, look, there was a time this year when Fitz was playing great, and there was some thought, maybe he doesn't get his job back. What was that like for you to go through emotionally?
I think I would rather much wanted to be in the locker room with my teammates to experience that winning culture that we had at the beginning of the year. It's not about one particular quarterback having tons of success. It's about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were winning football. If we were playing winning football, and we were dominating our opponents, and I hate that I missed that.
But it wasn't easy. Now at the end of the year, obviously it became your team again, right. And so much so that even when a coaching change was made, it feels like the coaching change was made with you specifically in mind.
Right.
That's a lot to go through in one season, right? Like, I get the job back, I don't have the job, I earn the job, coach is getting fired, but they're going to hire Bruce Arians, who is a quarterback guru. Like,
right.
That's a lot, dude.
It's a blessing to me. I mean, I feel like I've earned every right. You know, I feel like I've played well enough. We just haven't won any football games. That's the only thing about me right now. We got to win. And once we start winning, then we'll get this ship sailing.
How you were seen as a culture changer when you came out of college, right? You were seen as a guy who, like, look, just finds a way to win. I remember there was that video of you going back to the Florida State locker room first game of the season after you left Florida State and talking about that we need to play something like some dogs, not some puppies, right? hasn't been able – why has it been so difficult to translate? As a guy who's always won, why has it been so difficult in the pros?
No, I don't know. And I can't speak on the past. all I could talk about right now is the actions. You know, and we have to take some actions, some strides to winning. You know, I'm not a loser. Yeah. I don't think we're a losing organization. I believe we can do it. I believe we definitely have the talent, but that Jason Light put in store for us. Now I believe we have an excellent head coach who's been there, done that. His resume speaks for itself, and we're going to change things around.
All right, so BA comes in. He's got the Kango on.
Right.
Have you gotten your own Kango? Has he sent you like a Kango? But like, Jameis, this is the magic Kango.
No, I'm not a big Kango guy.
Not a big Kango guy?
Nah.
But what has he said in terms of what he wants to do? What's he talked to you about?
Man, he's just excited. He's excited just like me. You know, we haven't talked much football yet, but he's excited that we have a great team. We have a great organization that's behind him, and now it's just time to do it. It's not time to look at this as a rebuilding year. It's not time to we got the quarterback whisperer and, you know, a talented quarterback. It's time to win football games, and that's what he came here to do, and that's what we're going to do.
But he is a quarterback whisperer, right? Like,
yeah.
He's worked with, like, you go through, be like, damn, you work with Andrew Luck was balling, and Ben Roethlisberger balling, and Carson Palmer started balling with him. Like, yeah. That's got to make you feel like, I cannot wait to get back to work.
No, I can't. I can't wait, man. I'm so excited and elated to be with him, especially the type of technical things that he can teach me that he's been experienced in doing his tenure as a coach so far.
Will you watch Sunday? Are you a guy that watches the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I'm going to watch the Super Bowl.
Can you believe that Tom Brady's been doing this? He's 19 years, 9 Super Bowls. Like, that is nuts. No one knows better how hard it is to just get to the playoffs than you. Forget about playoffs. 9 Super Bowls.
Right.
How's he doing it?
I mean, he's the GOAT, man. He's the GOAT. He's a part of a great organization. They're a family out there in New England. And that's something that every team should be trying to build with their organization.
But to be doing it at 41 years old and still finding a way, like, that to me just – It's insane, and I wonder how he's kept his body together. I mean, the mind, obviously, is working 10 steps ahead because he's seen every defense, every coverage. He knows where the ball is going to go.
Yeah.
But to have the body still cooperate sounds crazy to me.
Well, it's good when you have a good offensive line. That helps you when you have a running game and a good offensive line. But, I mean, I just think, you know, he does so many things for all young quarterbacks to pick up on, like his diet, his workout program. And, you know, the way that he has people around him to help him be an overall better player.
If Jameis now could go back and tell Jameis something when you first entered the league that would have helped you along the way, what would it be?
It would just, Jameis, stay yourself. Don't let no coach, don't let no teammate deter you from being who you truly are. And that's being a great human being, a great leader, and a baller.
You're here on behalf of your foundation.
Yes.
You do a lot of good works off the football field. What's the focus right now of your foundation?
Well, our mission is to provide resources, opportunity, and encouragement to underprivileged kids through technology. We go into schools, high-poverty schools, and we build these things called Dream Room, which allows kids to access 25 iPads, 3D printers, robotics, learn how to code. We have a big old table that's a whiteboard would allow them to, you know, do different type of games, whether it's multiplications, whether it's writing down different codes to a robotic that they may have on the table. Basically trying to expand the use of the internet in these elementary schools in any
for kids don't normally have access at home.
I mean, the thing is, like, even though this is an internet driven world, this world has gotten so digital and kids can't go home and do online assignments.
Right.
So now we're having this Dream Room. Kids will have the opportunity before school or after school and also during school to go there, and I think the biggest thing is the people that work in the Dream Rooms. The school that we work with, Alexander Elementary, I just visited there last Friday. Mitch Cross is doing an incredible job, and I think just a shout out to the teachers out there who apply themselves every day to be there for those kids, because anybody can build rooms and anybody can give charitable donations, but the time that we spend with these kids will really inspire them. And I think that's why I enjoy my foundation, because I'm able to spend time with these kids and to basically put them on to new things, which will allow them to have brighter futures. And like the room, it is dream big.
Yeah, but how do you keep them off Fortnite? That's the big question, right? Like, well, you get in there, they start getting on there, you're supposed to be coding. Like, no,
that's the beautiful
Mr. Winston
thing.
I'm playing Fortnite.
That's the beautiful thing about the internet, baby. You got so many different patterns where you can block the kids from doing different things. So if you're not doing things on your iPad for educational purposes, you know, well, you're not going to be on there.
D-Jax is incredible because I don't know how he's still this fast. Like, everybody talking about Tyreek Hill, right?
Yeah, right.
Tyreek Hill's probably the fastest dude in the league.
Right.
How has D-Jax not lost a step?
Man, I don't know, honestly. D-Jax is just an incredible talent. You know, I feel like he just was born to do what he does. You know, that's why hopefully one day I can help him get a gold jacket one day.
If somebody's been a Jameis Winston fan since in college, since you won the national championship, and they followed you and they said, Jameis, give me a reason to believe, to buy in to Jameis Winston, whether this is 2.0 or 3.0, this upcoming season with you, the Bucks, and Coach Arians, what would it be?
I would be that Jameis Winston is just getting his swag back, mainly because it's a fresh start. I have a coaching staff that believes in me. You know, I have great weapons around me. And it's not about talking anymore. It's all about action. And if you know Jameis Winston from whenever you watch me from Little League to even now, I'm about that action, and it's going to be fun.
Jameis Winston Dream Forever Foundation, and of course they have those great dream rooms. Jameis, wish you the best of luck in the upcoming offseason. Continued health and success. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show rolls on here on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.